Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Fleon Productions podcast. This is episode 3. Well, it's been an awesome 2017 so far. It's been 1 month in, and Fleon Productions had one heck of a year in 2016. We had a few new clients. We had South Florida Basketball League that hung with us, and which is naming a few of the new ones we got. And we started the podcast last year and in December, and I decided to do that because I just feel like I need to communicate better with my clients and potential clients and my fans, I guess you can say. You know, people always ask, what do you do? What do you do? And I'm like, I'm just a web developer. I own my own company, but you know, they want to see what's up. You know, you got to be transparent. And I think, you know, having content posted and showing more like media, like podcasting or videos, really works, I think. But yeah, and 2017 come out with a really strong year. Been helping out with this church plant called Church of the Coast up in St. Petersburg. So I've been traveling every weekend in the month of January. So it's been really, really good. Today, we have Christian Financial Ministries, Bob Lauder, and he is a client of mine for the past 5-6 years, since 2011. Christian Financial Ministries helps individuals successfully identify, correct, and overcome root spiritual, financial, and relational issues rather than just treating the symptoms. Christian Financial Ministries uses technology, the internet, and leverage the spiritual gifts God gives his people. Individuals will receive the highest quality, highly accountable, Bible-based financial and relational teaching, training, counseling, coaching, and mentoring services and products to help individuals and family. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Santiago. Glad to be here.
Bob, can you tell us a little bit about Christian Financial Ministries?
Well, I think that it boils down to the fact that we work with individuals and churches, organizations, actually all around the world. We're in about, I don't know, 30-something odd countries right now that basically help people get rid of the financial stress and the pain. And they do that by learning how to learn, apply, and pass on what the Bible says about money. And what happens is that we do all of that, as you know, based upon a whole lot of years of experience I have working with, you know, some really great financial teaching and leadership authors like, like Larry Burkett, Howard Dayton, Ron Blue, Dave Ramsey, John Maxwell. And what we do is help those folks that really, for example, in today's world, we help people that can't afford or maybe don't have access to a Crown or a Dave Ramsey program or John Maxwell program, or maybe they, I don't know, maybe they do have access to it, they can't afford it, but they've been there and they still need more help. So we're just we're open 24/7 to be able to help people that can't get help any other way.
Bob, can you tell us how you started?
Well, actually, we've been in ministry for about, 28 years now, but until about 4 or 5 years ago, our main job was to have what was at the time one of the first Bible-based consumer credit counseling organizations in the country, where we help people work with the creditors, negotiate with the creditors, and we have the most successful one, secular or Bible-based, in the country based upon retention rate. We routinely kept about 97% of our people were in the secular world, was less than 50%. And we did that just because we were operating from God's word. But then again, 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord said to put that aside, and he wanted us to get more involved in teaching rather than helping people work within the world to show them how to work within God's word. So last 4 or 5 years, we've been trying to take everything that we learned from Dave and Ron and Larry and all of those guys and take it to a higher level and put it on the internet, and that's where we finally are for this year. For the first time, we're open to the general public without having to worry about continuing to test the program. So that's a bit about where we've been and how we got to where we are.
Was there a moment in your life where you saw some struggling in your finances or anybody in your surroundings, which prompted you to start this?
Well, actually, this kind of came as a real surprise about 4 or 5 years ago when I really clearly heard the Lord said, sell our building, stop the ministry we've been doing for about 20-some-odd years, and begin to focus on teaching. And because what we found is that we were helping people draw close to the world through consumer credit counseling, but not nearly close enough to God. And people were getting out of trouble, and they were coming back because they weren't doing what they were doing based upon what God's word said. So we just took a step of faith and sold our building and started heading down this path. And the Lord has just reaffirmed that direction time and time again. So I know that we're headed in the direction of doing what it is the Lord wants us to do.
What is the most common mistake that people make with their finances?
Well, I think honestly, and we discovered this, I mean, people are just too darn, when it comes to finances, people are too darn close to the world and not nearly close enough to God. I mean, we've been taught as a society, even within the body of Christ, we've been taught to handle our money based upon worldly principles, and we get into trouble. And so what we're all about is being able to, first of all, help people begin to see, all right, let's forget what the world says. Let's go back up and let's lay a foundation based upon what God's word says. Then let's apply some of those good worldly tools like budgets and those kinds of things. But those budgets, when they're based upon what God's word says as opposed to what the world says, well, those budgets have a funny way of working themselves out that way. So the first thing that I can tell you is that, doggone it, the people within the body of Christ have just spent too long, too deep into the world when it comes to trying to manage their finances. But then again, I think the second thing is, even when you lay a biblical foundation and you begin to apply the good tools that are out there, I think the next big mistake that people make is that they try to do too much too quick. I mean, even when you understand says why, it's impossible to sit down with a mess and say, we're going to come up with a budget today and it's going to be applicable tomorrow and we're going to get out of debt in 3 weeks. That just isn't likely going to happen. People have got to sit down and recognize they have to start taking small bites. You start working with what it is you control the easiest, and then begin to see successes in those lines. You move up to the next level of difficulty, and you keep going and going and going, and pretty soon over time. I think the real problem that people have is that they look at financial freedom as a destination and not a journey. It is definitely a journey and not a destination. It's a process. And that's where God comes into play, because when the process, if God is pleased in the process that we're taking, he's going to be pleased with the destination. So, you know, biblical financial freedom is much, much more a journey than it is a destination. And I think once people get a hold of that, they begin to realize, yeah, it really is all about your spiritual life, not about your financial life.
Throughout the Bible, it talks about not being in debt and to pay off your debt from your debtors. What would you tell millennials today who are in student debt or in credit card debt? How should they pay off the debt? How should they deal with it?
Well, first of all, I would say that the Bible doesn't say that debt is a sin. It's not. It just says that's not what God's will for you is, and that with actions come consequences. And with actions of debt that lead to debt, there's going to be consequences. The consequences aren't going to be good. I mean, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And I don't think God would ever have us have his people be servant to anybody but to him. So when we agree to take on debt, we are putting ourselves in a position of having to serve the creditor rather than God. So, no, debt is not a sin. There are some things, depending upon what your circumstances are, that debt may be perfectly fine. But for example, Santiago, it could very well be that somebody listening to this podcast is maybe they're a real estate investor. I mean, and that is how they buy and sell property, and they buy and sell it based upon borrowed money and their own money and that kind of stuff. So in that particular situation, you can make an argument that debt is okay. But I would tell you that when it comes to the question of debt, the real question isn't whether debt is okay. It's whether there is leverage involved that leads you to something that is called surety. Now, surety in the Bible says don't do it. It just says absolutely don't get involved in surety. Now, what is surety according to what the Bible says? Surety is taking on an obligation without a clear way to repay it. So if you are that real estate investor and you're buying and selling and trading buildings and condos and apartments and all the other kind of stuff, and you never put yourself in a position where you, if the worst happens that you cannot repay a loan, then you're not in surety. You are managing the money correctly. You're now at some risk, but you're not insured. Problem is, most of us in the body of Christ, we are involved with surety. And the bad thing about surety is not only is it a sin, not only does God say don't do it, the problem with surety is you don't know that you're there until you're there. Nobody goes into debt borrowing money for a house or for a car or for college education with the idea that it's going to ruin the rest of their life when they can't pay it. But the problem is when they figure out that they have too much debt, they can't repay it, then they realize that they took on that debt with surety, and they understand why the consequences are so negative. So I would tell millennials, you know, that is not a sin. Just be very, very careful. Understand the biblical principle of surety and absolutely do not put yourself into a position of surety. Do not put yourself in a position to have a debt that you cannot repay.
I wish they taught this in high school.
Yeah. I wish I'd learned it in high school. You know, man, there was a time when I went through bankruptcy and a divorce long before I became a Christian, and I didn't know anything about this. I mean, I've been taught things like OPM, you know, using other people's money, and I thought that was kind of cool. And I got out of college, and I was in the military, and I was buying and selling properties, and I was using other people's money, and buying businesses using other people's money, and then everything was doing fine, but then I wasn't paying attention to my marriage. I wasn't a Christian, got divorced, and now with the divorce, I couldn't pay the bills, and oh, man, it was an ugly mess. So you're right. You know, one of the things, Santiago, that all of the years that I did seminars all over the country for Larry Burkett and Christian Financial Concepts and Crown Ministries, one of the things that I could always count on people coming up to me after the seminar and saying, just what you said, man, I wish my kids got this. I wish I would have gotten it when I was younger. So it is something that we're not teaching our children simply because we as parents hey, we've never really been taught it before ourselves. So it's hard to pass on something that you are not using and applying yourself. So absolutely, this is something that the younger – hey, listen, I'm telling you, if you can begin teaching biblical financial principles when kids are 2 years old, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, not to mention middle school, high school, and college. I mean, man, we're not doing a good job, and that's why bankruptcies are so high, divorces are so high. It's why we are a debtor nation.
Exactly. Now with like the government that is in $20 trillion in debt, you know, is a testimonial of what's going on. Bob, how can someone be qualified for your courses?
Well, to be qualified is anybody. But I tell you, and this was a surprise to me, but over the years what I found is that the Lord has brought more ladies than men, and more married ladies than single ladies. And even when we were meeting with people face to face before we got involved in the internet, I could always tell when I would sit down with a couple, it was the wife who was the impetus behind the husband being there. I mean, you could tell that when she was having to drag him across the parking lot. You could see the scuff marks all the way in where she was dragging her husband. Husband didn't want to be there. It was the lady who recognized that they had a problem, they needed to do something about it. So over the years, what I have found is usually the wife, it is the lady, or it is the single mom who recognizes that what's happening financially is not good, recognizing that they need to do it God's way, and recognizing that the man in their life isn't making any moves in that direction. And that presents a particular hardship because the Bible says the woman is supposed to be servant to nobody but God. Right? Supposed to honor her husband, but so many times a husband isn't honoring to his wife by not leading the family down a financial path that's in line with what God would say. So the demographic, we serve everybody from the very young. We've worked with people from the military academies to high school folks to people in their 70s and 80s, but I would say the people that the Lord seems to be bringing the most are the ladies. Are the wives and moms, and then single moms.
there's a lot of people realizing that, hey, being debt is not good. And it seems like there's like a financial education wave going on in America.
Well, it's a lot more fun to be out of debt than in debt, I'll tell you that. And it's a lot easier to stay out of debt than it is to get out of debt. So why once you're there, it doesn't take much time or energy at all to get into debt, but it takes both time and a whole lot of energy and prayer to get out of debt. I will tell you, been there myself, work with people that are facing that every day. Turning it around is absolutely not an easy thing. That's why you can't do it in your own power. You can do it and stay with it and keep out of trouble if you do it according to God's power. You try and do it yourself, man. Listen, once the pressure gets off, once the creditors stop calling, so you get on a budget so the creditors are no longer calling. You pay off your IRS bill so the IRS is no longer calling. You take care of the symptoms, and pretty soon you let up the pressure. Pressure goes away, so you let up what you're doing to correct the situation, go back to your old habits, and you're right back in the same mess you were before.
What expectations should people have when they take their courses?
Well, we try to do a pretty good job up front of letting them know that the only reason that they found us on the internet, because we don't do any marketing. We have our website, as well as you well know. We've just started social media after 25 years, so we don't advertise anywhere. I start out by letting people pick on the fact that the only reason they found us is because God's hand must have been in it. So if they found us, they found us for a reason, and maybe they better take a look. And maybe they better understand that it's God's call on their life, not mine. It's not my job to convince them to get out of debt, but the Lord is alive and well, as proven by the fact that he's bringing him to us. So now let's see what we can do to work together to adapt what it is God's given us to be able to be a helping nature, a helping hand up to those he brings.
You know, Bob, that I've been working with you for the past couple of years, and it feels like that people just come in and, there's no advertising, there's no marketing, and they come in to take your courses, and I'm like, well, I'm mesmerized, but it's just so hard to confess, hey, I am in debt, I'm going through financial issues, How do you deal with that?
You bet. Your pride is always an issue. You know what the Bible says, pride coming before the fall. I mean, absolutely pride is an issue. But that's one of the good things I think about dealing over the internet with people, over telephone, over Skype, over email, is that when you're not meeting together with somebody face to face, it lessens the impact of pride on somebody's part. I think people have a little bit more freedom to open up, when they're not looking at people eyeball to eyeball across the table. But I think that I think there is a fear. I think there's a certain amount of fear, which is not a good thing, because the Bible tells us we're not to fear. But I think the pride is a big aspect of it. And I think once people get to the point where they recognize that they've tried it the world's way for so long, they have nowhere else to go but to God. Say, okay, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now I'm going to repent. I'm going to not only say I'm sorry, but I'm going to turn around and head in another direction. And so they get on the internet, they try to find somebody that's going to help them head in the direction of God instead of in the direction of the world. And so even overcoming pride is a process. By the time they get to us, God's already working in that. Already he's working in that. So yeah, pride is a big issue.
How has the online presence helped you to get the word out and to bring people in? And would you say it's easier than going face to face?
Well, face-to-face was always a scheduling nightmare. A lot of times, because people would feel so overwhelmed, they would call and make an appointment, but then pride would set in. So they'd miss an appointment, they'd skip an appointment, they'd be late on an appointment. But maybe it was a hard thing, too, because you're struggling. Let's say you get a couple and you're struggling. Maybe both husband and wife are both working. And so the only time they can meet, it's going to be in the evening after it's a long day. They're tired. They have children to worry about at home. And, so it was hard to schedule and get times to meet that worked out for everybody. But when you're working on the internet, man, it's 24/7. And what it does, it takes the the way that God's given us to do it takes the best aspects of individual study as well as group dynamics, and it puts it together in a very highly, highly accountable format online. So, yeah, it's available 24/7. It is not constrained to the point that you have to meet at a particular time on a particular day to be able to receive and work through the material. You can receive it, work through it at your own pace. But then you get together with the team once every week to 10 days to talk through case studies and that kind of thing. So it's real flexible, which makes it more accessible. And of course, we, you know, God gives us the resources to be able to offer it for donations, minimum donation required. So it's also the cost people can afford. So it's highly accessible. There's nothing that says they can't afford it. And so that's real attractive, you know, to people, you know, accessible at a price they can afford.
Bob, after working with you for a couple of years, I've noticed that you're a very kind-hearted person and you have a lot of patience for this. And I think you have a calling for it too.
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with that, my friend. I think my nature would be just the opposite of that. But I've been on the other side of the fence so long that I've seen God have patience working with me. How can I, you know, I don't have to even think a crossword without the Lord coming back and saying, "Now, Bob, remember when?" So, you know, I don't, one thing about this ministry is that it is his ministry. It is not my ministry. It is his ministry. I just happen to be blessed by being the guy in the middle that stands between him and the people that he wants to bring to help. So it's a real humble position on my part. I'll tell you honestly, Santiago, you know, Larry Burkett, Dave Ramsey, all those other guys, they've forgotten more than I'm ever going to know about how to handle money according to what the Bible says. It's just my privilege to be able to be used to be able to help people. So, no, my nature is not that way, but he's changed my nature, praise God. And my wife agrees with that, praise God.
Amen. Can you name one book that has inspired you to do this?
Well, there. I think there's the book by Larry Burkett, his basic book, Your Finances in Changing Times. It's a great primer on what God's Word has to say. And then I think Dave Ramsey's book, I can't even think of it. It's tied to his Financial Peace University. Well, now, how about that? I can't even think of the book. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I'm looking on my bookshelf. Oh, here it is, Total Money Makeover. Sorry about that, Dave. So I think not, because Dave is a really, really, he's a real strong Christian, but he comes at finances from a very, very practical aspect. Larry Burkett was a fantastic Christian author. He dealt with the practical, but his strength was in the spiritual. Now, putting those both together, there's another book that I like, and I just happen to have it on my bookshelf. It is Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lapin. So I think between those three books, anybody can be able to take, read, and with a little bit of prayer, be able to turn around and go from where the direction they're headed to the direction the Lord will have them. I particularly like the Thou Shalt Prosper. It's the Ten Commandments for Making Money. Now, that doesn't sound like a very biblical title, but I will tell you, it's one of the best books I've ever read in my life. It's excellent. So you asked for one, I just gave you three. Maybe that'll help.
That will work. And can you tell us one role model that you really look up to and that you learned a lot from?
Oh, no doubt about it, John Maxwell. He's a Christian. He teaches from a biblical worldview. He teaches on leadership. He teaches on coaching, counseling, mentoring. I was so blessed by the fact that our ministry was able to partner with his ministry so that he's providing his teaching resources to us at no cost to our people. I would say I greatly admired Dave Ramsey, I greatly admired Larry Burkett, but I think overall, as far as being able to teach and to present and to communicate and to connect, gotta be John Maxwell. You know, they say that John Maxwell has written more about leadership and coaching and counseling and all of that, more than any other leadership author all of the other leadership authors in the world since the beginning of time combined. So he's a guru, man. He is where it's at. And I've met him. I've talked with him. I would say that in answer to your question, it have to be John Maxwell. What a guy. What a ministry. What a calling to help people.
I would say Maxwell has been very influential in my life. You know, he's definitely one of my top 10 speakers. What are the future plans for Christian Financial Ministries?
To get through next week. I don't know, Santiago, and it drives our board crazy. Because honestly, my attention is focused on what God is telling me to do. I am focused on growth more than I'm focused on setting goals. Yeah, I set goals, but my goal is to be as close to God as I can be, and then I let Him lead me to set goals for the ministry. I don't know where He wants to take it. I mean, we're starting to get into Christian universities and colleges now. We're starting to get into more and more churches, dealing with more and more people. We're going to be, offering a new seminar online that's your children's finances in perilous times. There is more to do that can be done. And if I try to do it in my own strength, ain't none of it going to get done. So my goal as far as the ministry is to keep my eyes on the Lord. You know, the Bible says that His word is a lamp unto our feet. I'm not going to worry about looking around the corner and down the street and over the rocks and that kind of stuff. My goal is to keep my eyes focused on Him and just work as hard as I can together with Him and let Him take it to whatever level He knows He wants it to take. If I set goals, it won't be nearly high enough. I'll tell you that for sure. So I'm letting Him set the goals, but it's going to be excellent. One of the conditions, whatever we do, it's got to be the absolute best that we can possibly do it. That's why I so much appreciate your work to help make the Academy really a learning environment that really is second to none. I haven't found anything else there out there that's like it. And you know, we've struggled with it over the years to get it where it is, but your work to help get it online in such a high quality manner, if we're only going to do what we can do in an excellent way, and we'll let the Lord decide how high that's going to go.
Bob, it's been a pleasure working with you these past couple years, and this topic is very important. You know, it's something that people struggle with or some people really succeed with, but it has to be talked about, either in churches, schools, or anywhere you could think of. So I really appreciate you.
All I can tell you is I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life. I'm working harder and longer than I ever have in my life, and the Lord is blessing it more than anything else He's ever given me to do in my life. So I honestly can tell you, Santiago, if Jesus Christ was sitting in the chair right across from me right now and He said, Bob, you know what? What do you want to do? I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do. What do you want to do? I said, Lord, just let me keep doing what it is You're giving me to do right now. You know, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And man, you just can't get any better than that. And one of the biggest benefits of that is to be able to help other people reach that same level. That's why one of the things we do is to try and help teach people how to teach people so that they can come to the point that they're doing what they know that it is that they're supposed to be doing. So I've got the best of all worlds, my friend, the best of all worlds.
And Bob, how can people reach you?
ChristianFinancialMinistries.org. That's the best way. Go online, and they'll see your work and His work through us. And if it fits, we'll get together. If it's not the right time, you'll be, you know, if it's not the right time, they'll be back, my guess is. But ChristianFinancialMinistries.org. Now, we've got a Facebook page. We've got social media going now since the beginning of the year now. And I'm not a techie. I would rather have my old than this iPhone thingy that I've got, but we've got some folks helping us with social media, so they can go to our website, they can see our blog, they can see Facebook, they can see Twitter, but I think going to the website is the best place to start, ChristianFinancialMinistries.org.
And finally, do you have any encouraging words before we leave this podcast?
Well, all I got to say to people who are listening is you're not listening by accident. Pay attention to what God wants to do. And what he wants you to do is to get to a place where you're serving him more than serving man, your debt, money. We can help. I'm not the only ones that can help, but we can help. But just know that folks who are listening, you're listening to this right now. You're not listening by accident. God has a plan. He's got a purpose. And financial freedom his way has got to be part of it, or you wouldn't even be listening to this podcast.
Bob, appreciate you very much. Thank you.
You bet, Santiago. God bless. Pleasure working with you, my friend.